I'm going to talk. How many have ever done Ancestry.com? I've never done it. Has anybody ever done it? Okay. Well, I didn't do it, but I read a little bit about my ancestries. You can see I've got a little nice Sicilian tone to the skin. So I had one set of grandparents come from Norway. I had another set of grandparents come from Sicily. So I got like the best parts of all of it. You know, it just kind of came together. But I got to tell you something. I got a blessing. Okay, so like as you can see in my picture, my boys could jump. Joe could dunk at 5'10". So white men can jump. I want you to know that, okay? No, I'll tell you, this is a true story. Gus Macker dunk contest. Well, I'm going to get to that point. That's why you and I might be brothers from another mother, and I'm going to get to that story in a second. Gus Macker, 2000, Joe gets to the finals in Minneapolis and takes down the brothers, okay? To the point, at the end, they were all cheering for the little white guy, okay? And he didn't win it because he went under an eighth and 360 and he hit the back of the rim. But when I read my ancestry, Sicilians have a 92% chance of North African blood. Now I know why my boys could jump.
All right.
Okay? That was it. We're gonna get into the word. We're going to look at your Hebrew DNA. That's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at that journey. We're going to go Old Testament all the way up through the New Testament between this morning and tonight. And we're going to study that. And so you got basically, when we go back, you know the story about Joseph and he had great favor. But you know, after Joseph passed away, other pharaohs came in and other pharaohs came in and other pharaohs came in. And before we know what do we know about the Hebrew people? They were enslaved, weren't they? And their life was miserable. But then God shows up, he parts that Red Sea, and he sends them into the wilderness. So we're going to talk about enslaved in Egypt. We're going to talk about wilderness wandering, the time of faith testing. Some of you are there right now. We're going to talk about that. We're going to pray about that. Some of you are just stuck in the wilderness. But we're going to finish in the promised land, right? Amen? Really, seriously. I said, blessed are those that hunger and thirst, for they will be what? Filled. Now, those meals are unbelievable. And maybe sometime I'm going to come back and just partake in the meals. Okay? But let's talk about the Hebrew people. Let's talk about them being enslaved. Let's talk about how hard life was them. The brutal life of a Hebrew nation 3000 BC. Exodus. So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor. They made their lives bitter with harsh labor in brick and mortar. And all their harsh labor, the Egyptians worked them ruthlessly. It was a miserable existence, wasn't it? Okay? But I'm going to tell you right now, the brutal life of humanity, 2018, it's no different out there. Jonathan prayed, life is hard. Everywhere we go, they're hard stories. At one time, we too were what? Foolish, disobedient, deceived. And look what Ephesians says. We were what? Enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We too were under this slavery. As for you, you were dead in your transgression and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world. I think I can just do that. And what? The ruler of the kingdom of the air. Now, some of you, I know, have incredible testimonies and stories about when you followed the ruler of the kingdom of the air, right? I'm sure there's some powerful stories in this room. How deceived they were and how entrapped they got. Who now is at work in those who are disobedient. All of us, that's all of us, who lived among them at one time were gratifying the cravings of our flesh. So the Hebrews enslaved, and 2018 world is enslaved. But God's a wonderful God, right? He's a wonderful God. The Lord said, I've seen the misery of my people in Egypt. And I've heard them what? Crying out. Because of their slave drivers. And I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land into what? A good and spacious land. A land flowing with milk and honey. You know, the God of the Old Testament doesn't get justice. Everybody looks at him by heart. This is God in ultimate grace, mercy, and love. These are my people. These are my people who are called by my name. These are my people. That was the promise to the Hebrew slaves. And this is our promise. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgression and sin. You heard my story. My heart was as hard as the hardest stone. I wasn't looking for him, but he sought me out, right? And his grace and mercy entered into my life. Jesus replied, "Verily, very truly, I tell you," I'm an old King James guy, it'll slip back, "everyone who sins is a slave to sin. So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed." Guys, I want you to walk away this weekend. I don't care. Every one of you have something that's kind of, God wants you free. I mean, really free. Read the life of Christ. He walked during really hard times. And was he free? He was absolutely free. So who the Son has set free is free indeed. And then we get this Moses guy, right? Kind of shows up on the scene. And God says, "And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you, Moses, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." God touched Moses so he could lead people into a promised land. And God has touched you with one purpose. Jonathan prayed it so well this morning. But if our gospel, if your gospel, if it's hid to those who are lost, whom the God of this world has what? Blinded the mind. My mind was blinded for the first 21 years of my life. I was blind. I could not see. I was blinded. "Of them which believe not, lest the light of this glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them. For we preach not ourselves." We preach not ourselves. "But Christ Jesus the Lord. I preach not Len Larson, Pam Larson. I want to walk a walking witness of the grace and mercy of God." That's what my wife wanted to do every day. We just want to walk and be a witness of this glorious gospel. So when I was studying for this, I added this kind of at the end. I said, wow, that was really hitting me. You know how certain things just hit you? I said, the glorious. It's not just the gospel, guys. That gospel in you, according to Paul, it's glorious. I mean, like, it's glorious. Amen? It's a glorious. So what does that mean? What does it look like if the gospel is glorious? Let me break this down. Number one, here's how I look at it. My sin nature is healed. Why did he take those stripes? 39, by his stripes, guess what? You're no longer in the bondage to sin at all. Amen? I know we struggle, correct? But it better not have you. Okay? By his stripes, we are healed. We are healed from that bondage of that sin nature. That's why I went to that cross. That's why I suffered that crucifixion. 39 stripes to heal everything that is out there. He's breaking all the bondages that can grab you and pull you down. Whatever it might be. Your bent frame is transformed. I heard it best explained once about a guy who got a brand new car and he was driving down the road. It kept going to the left. He brought it back. Finally, he said, "You know what? It's got a bent frame. We'll never be able to get it to go straight." And it really hit me. We come into this world with what? A bent frame. No matter how hard I could have tried all my life to get that car to go straight, but guess what Jesus does? He transforms, doesn't he? "I will put a new spirit in you, and you will move to follow my decrees and keep my laws, and you'll move joyfully." They're not a burden, are they? So that's that new heart. That's that new nature. "Behold, anyone in Christ, he becomes a new creature." Guess what? The old things, what do? They pass away. I will never forget about 6 months after I had decided to follow Jesus, I woke up one day and said, "Man, Pam, I don't know what's going on. But like, everything's brand new. I'm just like seeing everything different." That's the glorious gospel of Christ. Our sin nature is healed. Our lives can be transformed. Oh my goodness. And we can experience spiritual soul intimacy. Now, I don't know how you do that or where you do that. I'm a prayer walker. I don't do well on my knees. I got a little hyperactivity if you haven't figured that one out yet. Okay? So my happy place is my wooded hiking trail in the town of St. Germain that nobody goes. And man, have there been some hallelujahs shouted there. And the other part is early morning kayaking. I got a buddy, and I was kayaking one morning, just making a joyful noise. And I came around the bend, and he was fishing with his buddy. And I wasn't embarrassed. He said, "Oh, yeah, that's Len, who we've been hearing all over the lake this morning. Don't worry about it. He's like that all the time." The law of the Lord is perfect, converting or restoring the soul. This is Psalm 19, verse 7, I believe. This is really powerful, guys. If you study this out in the Hebrew, that word converting means to restore. It means this: garden restoration of fellowship, of intimacy. We literally can go back to the garden as believers in Christ, and we can enjoy that kind of intimacy with Christ. I don't care if it's in your worship time, my brother, or your prayer time. I don't know where it is. It should be happening everywhere. I mean, there's nice, you're just reading that word, and it's just filling your soul, and there's a worship service. There's a prayer time, whatever it is. That's the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ that we have access to all the time. Emotional peace. Amen. Hey? Amen? Be anxious for what? Nothing. Take no thought for what? Tomorrow. I mean, nothing. Every situation, by prayer and supplication, let with thanksgiving in your heart, let your request be made known unto God. And here's the kicker. And the peace of Len Larson? No. It's not Len Larson's peace that helps him walk every day with Sam's my heavy heart. It's the peace of God. And I know some of you, I know that story is hard to share. If you have any more questions, seek me out today. It's hard to fit that in that type of time frame. But the peace of God that passes all understanding shall do what? It'll rule your heart. And more important, not just your heart, brothers, it's what? Your mind. Is the battle not the mind? When you go to bed at night, where's the battle? Can I tell you, after Sam passed, how many times I said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul." Some nights, and it was okay. I didn't sleep much, but it was okay. Because the Lord was meeting and giving me emotional peace in a time of great emotional tragedy. And finally, this is it, man, eternal glory. Guys, this isn't it. Life's a temporary assignment. Don't get too attached. Rick Warren says it this way: it'll take you 15 seconds. You're going to look around and say, "Oh my gosh, why did I worry? Oh my gosh, why did I worry? The plan was perfect." I want you to realize something. The plan is perfect. It's all happening so you can be conformed to the very image. We all quote the first part of the scripture: all things work for the good. But why? Because those he foreknew, he predestined, and all these things are happening so you can be conformed to the image of God. Every trial, every test, everything is happening for that. I came that you might have life. So that's that glorious gospel. But guess what? We had to cross the Red Sea. I want to talk about this a little bit. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites, turn back and encamp near Pi Haroth." I'm not a Hebrew guy. "Between Migdal and the Red Sea." Now, I want to tell you something. I have studied this out and I've taught on this. To get to where they got to cross the Red Sea, was like the worst spot in 100 miles. He put them in the absolute worst place. Because you know what God wanted to show the Israelites? And you know what he wants to show you? Because he wants to put us into our Red Sea crossing. Because he wants to say, "Only I can deliver." My brother's got a story, and he'll be sharing that more in his life sometime. I know that. He's got this Red Sea crossing where God put him in a place just like this. Look, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there they were, the Egyptians. They were marching after him. They were terrified, and they cried out. It was like, "Are you kidding me? The whole Egyptian army is coming here, and we can't go through there. We couldn't have been in a worse place." That's exactly, and some of you are in a place there right now in life. You feel like, "Why am I in this place?" I'm going to tell you why. Because God's going to deliver you. And you're going to have a story. and you're going to have a testimony, and you're going to be able to share the crossing of the Red Sea. You want to know what comes all the way through the Psalms? This crossing of the Red Sea. If you don't know Psalm 77, you need to study it out. It's an incredible psalm. It's all about, God, why didn't you do this? And he goes, whoa, wait a minute. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm. And you will see the deliverance of the Lord. He will bring it today. And I love this part of the verse. The Egyptians you see today, guess what? You will never see them again. Who's going to fight for you? The Lord will fight for you. Some of you came to faith because you were sitting there and the whole Pharaoh army was coming, and finally he broke you down and you had nowhere to go, and you finally said, God, save me. Okay? And guess what he did? He parted the seas. And you walked through. It says the footprints were seen. It was dry ground. Psalm 77 ends. He said, your footprints were under the water. So those that are in a tough situation right now, I'm going to tell you this. That water looks impassable. Underneath that water, Psalm 77 tells us, their footprints are already light out. They're already there. God's just going to wait for the perfect timing to part that sea. God has in the past, amen? I want somebody to shout a big amen, amen, who knows that God has moved in the past in their life. Say it again. God has. Amen. Okay, that's good. Some of you have really strong stories, like, whoa. And guess what? He will also in the future, right? I know I have more Red Sea crossings in my life. I know it. Okay? Now, he gets them into the wilderness, and this is a dangerous place, man. Because God delivered them, he promised he would, and he put them in the wilderness to what? To test them. To test them. Because that promised land is waiting. But he doesn't want to be weak in the promised land. Okay, so now we got this wilderness wandering. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. Let me just talk about that for a second. Spiritually, they started getting unconnected with God. Because guess what? The wilderness was a little hard. It wasn't quite what I expected. If I would have known in 1976, 77 what I was signing up for, I don't know if I would have put my name on the contract. Okay? It was a little tougher than they thought. So they got solitary. In other words, this is kind of talking like they were removing their intimacy. The worst thing you can do in a wilderness testing is separate your devotional time. You better pray harder. You better read more. My one prayer when Sam passed, here was my simple prayer. I said, God, I never want to pick this Bible up and the pages are all white. That's all I care about right now. I don't want to open this up and it's just like I'm looking at blank pages. And he honored that prayer. That's all I said. If I can come up here every night and get into this word and get fed, I'm going to make it. But if I come up and these pages are white on me, I'm in trouble. And they found no city to dwell in. They were hungry and they're thirsty. And guess what finally happens? Their soul starts to faint. It's a bad place to be. In the desert, the whole community started grumbling against Moses and Aaron. Hebrews talks about this. This is talked a lot. This story is talked a lot. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. He calls it an evil heart. When we doubt God, in departing from the living God, so we see that they were not able ever to enter the promised land because of their unbelief. Here's my question. Are you stuck in the wilderness right now? This is a little personal soul examination time. Because we get there. Okay? Your ancestors tried me for 40 years. So I'm going to ask you, just evaluate your heart right now. This is very personal. Is there more praise or is there murmuring and complaining coming out of your mouth? What are those people close to you hearing right now? Around your table, your family, your friends? Are you joyful or joyless? I mean, guys, I already got really convicted like crazy over this stuff, so I'm through it already. Not really, but, you know, now it's just, I mean, just like, whew. My best friend is Shirley. She's the most joyful person I've ever seen on the planet. I've never seen a lady with a harder life. How you doing, Shirley? Oh, praise the Lord. Michael's going to get out of jail, and I'm being facetious, in 5 years instead of seven, you know, and she's just the most joyful person. Are you joyful? Do people look at you and see joyfulness? Or joyless. Are you counting your blessings? Like daily? Are you never giving thanks anymore? Are you counting those blessings? I had some people over to the house, and they're young believers. It's a miracle story. And they ate dinner with me, and they had a couple, and they said, oh, what we do every night, Len, is we have the kids tell us what they're thankful for. And there they had their little 4-year-old and 2-year-old before we ate, telling mom and dad what they were thankful for during the day. It was beautiful. Are you living in constant fear? Does fear have control of you right now? Because if any of these things are going on, man, you're wandering in your faith right now. Is your life filled with doubt and unbelief? Is it filled with doubt and unbelief? Proverbs says it all, right? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And here's the key thing to the whole verse, isn't it? Lean not unto your own understanding. Dean, if you try to figure this out, you're in trouble, right? Don't go there. Lean not. Acknowledge him in all your ways. And that, what does he do at the end? He starts directing your path. I end up in the wilderness more than I'd like to say I do. Okay, but I have found a place to go, and that word comes out in this sword, and I love this scripture. I'm going to read it to you. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. Oh my gosh, he knows the struggles and he feels it. He feels you weeping. Hey, even in the garden, Jesus said, Father, if you could remove this cup, but not my will, your will be done. He gets it. He was tempted. But I love this. But just as we are, yet he did not sin. So here's what we can do, and this is so important. Then, let us then approach God's throne of grace with what? Confidence. King James says, and I love it, boldness. So that we may receive mercy and find grace in our time of need. We're not ending, but I want you to bow for a second. Father God, there's men in this room right now that need boldness coming to the throne of grace because too much of their time, they're trapped in the wilderness. And we come with all the power of the Holy Spirit upon all of us right now. We beseech, we cry out to the heavens. We can come with boldness that your mercy and your grace, your power will fear their lives. They will be set free from this morning on in your name. Amen. 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 Let's keep going. Let's get into that promised land. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's the spirit of Caleb. Oh, I love his spirit, man. There's some Calebs in here. I've met you already. First thing, you need vision. Where there is no vision, what happens to the people? They perish. You know, I told somebody, I'm just retiring, but I said, you know, I talked to 750 kids Tuesday. I like talking to you guys, but I love talking to young people. I really do. They're just so much fun. A little better looking too, but don't take that personally. Caleb, Joshua, you know the story, right? They go in, oh my gosh, look at the, ooh, what a blessing. Ooh, the other 10, oh no, yeah, but the Amalekites, they're like, you know, Shaquille O'Neal's all over the land. Oh yeah. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Promise number one, your promised land flows with milk and honey. You have to have a vision to see that every single day of your life. It flows. Passion. Then Caleb silenced the people before him. Because what were they doing? They were complaining. Don't listen to these two yahoos on the left side here. We outnumber them 10 to 2, you know. And remember, the 10 guys, they were like the best out of the tribes. So these weren't some weak saints here. They were like, okay, you're coming out of that tribe, and you're coming out of Judah, and you're coming out of here. Caleb silenced the people. That's passion. Before Moses said, we should go up, take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. We can do this. Yeah, there's going to be some battles. And that's where it all ends up, guys. You can have great vision, you can have great passion, but you have to have resolve. You have to have resolve. But because my servant, and this is what the Lord said, my servant Caleb has what? a different spirit. I will tell you this right now. When you start walking like this, people are going to get a little itchy around you. Okay? And I'm not talking to people on the outside. Usually it's the people you're fellowshipping with all the time. And follows me wholeheartedly. I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants, his children's 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 children will inherit it. Is that not a blessing? So, let's look at the promised land. Let's look back then. That's their promised land, right? They're agrarian base, correct? What did they want? Great agricultural land. They wanted that land to flow. They wanted to make their bread. That's how it looks then. Here's our promised land now. That's my promised land right there. That's it. That's where I'm focusing on this message, right there. That's my promised land. And whether you have children or a spouse, I have a Sicilian family. So this is really cool. This is trivial, but not really. Grandma and Grandpa, Providencia Lascari and John Lascari came to the United States in 1929. They had 5 daughters. 3 daughters had children. If they were alive today, they'd have 85 grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and great-great-grandchildren. 85. When they passed away too young, they had 2. So I have a big clan. And that's just one part of my family. I feel responsible, Promised Land, as an intercessory prayer man for my family. I have over 120 family members. So even if I didn't have children and grandchildren, okay, that's my Promised Land. We're talking about our family. And I don't care where they are on their journey, okay? We're talking about them. I love this psalm. Man, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man that fears the Lord, who takes great delight in his command. For his children will be what? Mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their house, and their righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright. Did my family walk through a dark time? Did God make that light even 10 times brighter? Amen? Amen? Guys, I want you to understand that. That's a confirmation of that verse right there. If you ever doubt that verse, there's stories all over the place that in dark times, God shines a really bright light. But look how it starts. Blessed are those who what? Fear. That word fear simply means I'm in awe of God. It's like Isaiah. I saw the Lord. He's high and lifted up. His train fills the temple. The angels are crying, holy. He was in awe of God. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright. For those who are gracious and compassionate and righteousness, good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. It's an incredible psalm. Surely the righteous will what? Never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. That is my wife's testimony when I had a call and make the hardest call in my life. She went from there all the way up right there. I will not fear this bad news. I will trust in the Lord. You're going to be glorified through all this. And I want to tell you something. Pam and Sam had a relationship that was so cool and so deep and so intimate. It's off the charts. But she rested right there. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. Remember what Satan did to Job? He tried to destroy him. He thought he could. And Job is one of the most popular stories all over the world because in the end, God just lifts it all up. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. There will be a lifted horn. So, how do we do this? There's a lot of things I could teach you, but I want to talk about prayer. I really do. I want to talk about a really special night about a couple years after Sam passed. And I was sitting in the scriptures, and I'm reading Isaiah 62. And I grab out my pad, and I just start writing that Isaiah 62 out. and I wrote a prayer. Because after Sam was gone, I really started praying hard for Dan and Joe. And I knew there was war. I knew there was spiritual war out there. And I don't want to freak anybody out, but I experienced it. And it's there. You know, I heard a great sermon once. A really powerful speaker said, I got to tell you something. I am so educated, it's unbelievable. I've been to seminary and I got PhDs, the top of PhDs, but I'm going to tell you this. Here's one class I never had. I never had a class in exorcism. And Jesus was an exorcist. Seriously, can somebody explain that to me? I mean, there was a lot of spiritual battles going on. And I'll keep it simple, but I started writing this. And what I did is I rewrote Isaiah 62. And by the way, here's what I did. If anybody wants one, I made copies, but I took my boys' names out of there. If you just want a template for this, and you can write whatever names you want to write in there, I've got some copies up here. Okay, so when we're all done today, if you want a copy of that, if the Spirit moves you, that's fine. But I want to share this because this is powerful. Man, does this get me charged up in my prayer time? It really does. Because it came, I knew it was an anointed time. It came right out of the Scriptures, but now I'm writing it for me. Because I love Joe and Dan, and Isaiah's talking about Israel. It's because I love Israel. I will not keep still. Because my heart yearns for their salvation, I cannot remain silent. I will not stop praying for them until their righteousness shines like the dawn and their salvation blazes like a burning torch. And I love this part. Their family will see their righteousness. Their friends will be blinded by the glory of Christ. Amen. Can you imagine your children and your children's children having that kind of power and testimony? God says, seek me. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You have not because you ask not. Faint not. Pray without ceasing. And Joe and Dan will be given a new name by the Lord's own mouth. They will hold them in his hand for all to see. A splendid crown in the hand of a king. Never again will Joe or Dan be called the forsaken one or the desolate one. Their new name will be the young men of God's delight, for the Lord delights in them. Oh, Joe and Dan, I have posted myself as a watchman on your walls. I want to pause there. Men, that line right there, you need to, right now, as we leave, you need to plant a couple people in your heart right there that you're going to post yourself as a watchman in prayer for them. You're going to say, that's it. I'm just praying without ceasing. I will pray day and night continually. I love this. I will take no rest as I pray to the Lord. I will give the Lord no rest until he completes his work. Man, I'm just going to be like that Syrophoenician. I'm just going to keep coming and coming. I'm just going to keep coming. Okay? Until he makes you his pride on the earth. The Lord has sworn to me because of Christ's resurrection power, Joe and Dan will never be overtaken by the evil one. Never again will foreign warriors come and take away their joy, their victory, and their peace in Christ. Let me tell you why I know this is so anointed. Because when I spend my time with this, and I get off my floor or my couch, man, there's so much joy in my spirit. I'm going to finish up with this last slide. Promised land victory all comes out of Joshua. Guys, I'm not going to overteach this. I'm going to make it really simple. If you don't spend time in Joshua 1, you should spend time in Joshua 1. Let it speak to your heart. Be strong and courageous, correct? You know that. That simply means God confidence. Not by might, not by power, but by what? Your spirit. Too often we think, men, we have to be macho men. Man, God loves it when you're broken men. Then he can finally start using you. Okay? Brokenness. Obey all the law. Your personal holiness. It's a joyful thing. Be holy because what? I am holy. And I am not legalistic on this. In other words, that is your intimacy. God, I trust God to speak to your heart and how that looks. Yes, we have some general parameters for all of us. Meditate. I spend a lot of time here on my words. What? Oh, I got 5 minutes tonight before I go to bed. No, that's not what it said. You wonder why you're struggling? Because maybe you got 5 minutes. Or I'm going to get that devotion in right after I work out and get the shower in. okay? Meditate on my words, what? Day and night. Every moment of our life is sacred. Nothing is secular. Every moment, everything that's taking place, all it's sacred time, it's holy time. Do not be discouraged or dismayed. The battle is the Lord's. Do not harden your heart. And the last thing is really important, because it talked about the Hebrew people wandering to the left and to the right. Do not let your heart go astray. It is so easy to get sucked in by this world right now. It's so easy. It looks so pleasurable out there. And I'm not saying don't enjoy. Believe me, I enjoy life. I'm heading next week to backpack 2 weeks in Olympic National Park. I'm coming home down to Fayetteville to see my kids. I'm heading to Mexico in December, okay? But I'm going because the Lord has prompted, and I'm going to be sensitive to Him. So I'm going to wrap up right now. I want us to look at this. I'm going to pray through these very... So why don't you just bow your hearts, bow your eyes. I'm just going to pray through these things right now. Lord, I want these men all to claim their personal promised lands. First thing, I pray for a spirit that is strong and courageous in you. In you. They're confident in you. No matter what they're facing, they know the grace of your cross can handle it. I want personal holiness. There's men struggling with issues, fears and doubts. Pornography is everywhere we turn. There's drug things. There's all sorts of stuff. I pray for the convicting Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome. I pray that they learn to meditate on your word day and night. Unless your word had been my delight, I would have perished in my afflictions. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I'm a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. I want them to learn how to meditate day and night. And above all things, Lord, I do not want them discouraged or dismayed. I pray for the rest of this day at Fort. Pray for a blessing. I pray for some good man fellowship, that everybody could have a testimony coming back, that they shared a story, or they encouraged somebody, or they prayed for somebody, or they just listened to somebody. We thank you for Fort. We thank you for this beautiful weather. I'm going to be thankful for that. In your name, Jesus, amen. 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 Thanks, guys.